For the past few weeks, America at large has been in a state of uncertainty. It seems as each day dawns, new cases are discovered and further restrictions are imposed. But no matter what happens, we can be at peace in the midst of trouble. Somebody said, peace is the absence of a troubled heart and fear. Someone else said, peace is a tranquil state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, and content with its certainty, with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. Someone else said, peace is the serenity, the tranquility, the perfect contentment of life, which is completely happy and completely secure. For the average person, peace is short-lived, based often on the newest challenges we face in life. For many, worry has taken over. We worry about our health, and obviously, rightfully so, a little bit in this society here, huh? We worry about our families. We worry about our finances. We worry about the economy. Or we can worry about safety. Sometimes we even worry about the fact that we worry. But worry is really rooted in wrong thinking. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 that we are to let the peace of God rule our hearts. And so I want to look at what the Bible says this morning about peace, and I want to give you four keys to experiencing peace in the midst of trouble. So if you would, take your Bible and turn to Isaiah chapter 26. The book of Isaiah, chapter number 26, and I want you to see our first key found in this verse, Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Number one, your peace is contingent upon your picture of God. Your peace is contingent upon your picture of God. Look at the Bible here, Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. The Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The Bible says in verse 4 there, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. As we look at the Word of God, the Bible says that perfect peace is found as we fix our minds on God and who God really is. And so your picture of God is vital to your peace in your life. If I understand what the Bible says about God, it helps me to have peace in my soul. Do you know the God of the Bible is a loving God? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, the Bible describes God's love. In Romans 8 and verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are as counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then listen to these verses, 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves us. And we need to remember that our loving God gave mankind a free will. Sometimes mankind chooses to exercise their free will to do wrong. But you know, the Bible tells us in John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God in his love for mankind sent Jesus. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God in his love made a way for us to have forgiveness of sin and for us to have a relationship with God. In order to enter into that relationship with God, I need to recognize that I'm a sinner and recognize that Jesus died on Calvary's cross and come to God and ask him to forgive me of my sin and place my faith and trust in him and what he did on the cross. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. If you've not done so already, I would encourage you to place your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. The God of the Bible is a God of love. But secondly, as we look at the God of the Bible, as we think about our picture of God, the God of the Bible is a God who is in control. In Genesis chapter number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me, I want to show you a passage in Mark chapter 4. God, the Creator God that created the heaven and the earth, is a God that's in control. In the Gospel of Mark and chapter number 4, we read a passage of Scripture with the disciples and Jesus. They're in a boat together and a storm comes up. And I want you to see this story because I think this story helps us as we think concerning the trouble that comes into our lives. In Mark chapter number 4 and verse 35, the Bible says this. Mark 4, 35. And the same day, when even was come, Jesus saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. When they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? As we look at this story, the disciples are in the boat with Jesus. A storm comes up. Their circumstances in their life were less than what they thought. Their circumstances were that which they thought was going to cause them to die. And they wake Jesus, who's sound asleep in the boat, they wake Jesus up, and they say this, Master, do you care? Carest thou not that we perish? Their picture, their view of Jesus in this situation was wrong. They found themselves questioning God's care. Yet Jesus stands and he rebukes the wind. He calms the storm and he shows that he is in control. He shows his mighty arm. And the disciples question one another. They say, wow, we didn't know Jesus was able to do something this big. Jesus is in control. And we have to recognize that our peace is contingent upon our picture of God. God is in control of all things. And though our circumstances could be that which tries to cause us fear, we can rest in the control of our God. The God of the Bible is loving, and the God of the Bible is in control. The word keep is a word that means to keep your mind stayed on him, fixed, glued upon him. He's a loving God that's in control. So we experience peace in the midst of trouble. Number one, it's contingent upon our picture of God. But I want you to see number two, and I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and I want you to look at a verse found in Psalm 119, and we're going to focus our attention on verse number 165. I want you to see, secondly, your peace is contingent upon your promises from God. The promises in the Word of God that you get, that you think about, and that you claim, that you stand upon. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse number 165, Great peace, there's our word, have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, the Bible says in John 8 and verse 32, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. As much as we don't like to admit it, worry is really not trusting the truth or the promises of God's word. One of the main reasons people worry is because they don't know or choose to believe the truth. You see, our mind can only focus on one thing at a time. We can either focus on that which is wrong, or we can focus on the truth of the Word of God. And it is important that we know God's Word, and that we get into God's Word, and we understand His promises. I remember years ago working in a place with my father. We worked together in the same place, and part of my job, this particular job that I had, was to pull orders. And I drove a little cart around, and I'd pull orders. I'd pull car parts from the different shelves, and when I got there, obviously the part was there, and I was able to fill the order. Sometimes, though, when I got there, there was no part there, and I had to go to the boss and say, hey, what do you want me to do with this? And you know, it's a silly illustration, but obviously I couldn't pull a part and put it in the cart and pack it up and ship it out if the part wasn't there. And do you know, if the truth of the Word of God is not in my mind and in my heart, if I'm not reading it on a regular basis, hey, the promises of God, though the promises of God are there, I must get into the Word of God and I must see what it says for me. You think about some key truths that we could be thinking upon at this time. The Bible says in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Boy, I find lots of comfort in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 6. And I know many of you are familiar with this. Matthew chapter number 6, the Bible says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, which ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body? And then the scripture goes on to talk about how God takes care of the birds. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And he talks about the lilies of the field and how God takes care of the birds and the flowers. Wherefore, verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Great peace of they which love thy law. If we want to have peace in our life, we've got to spend time in the Word of God. And we've got to recognize the promises of God are for today. God will take care of us. He promises that in His Word. And we can stand upon the promises of God. So number one, your peace is contingent upon your picture of God. Understanding who God is and understanding Him, we find that in the Word of God. Number two, your peace is contingent upon your promises from God. The promises in the Word of God that we stand upon knowing that He'll take care of us. Number three, I would ask you to turn to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, we find another passage that helps us when it comes to peace. Peace in the midst of trouble. Great verse in Philippians chapter 4. We know the Apostle Paul was writing this from a time of trouble in his own life. Philippians is a prison epistle that was written by the Apostle Paul in prison. And it's amazing how much encouragement we find in this book, and especially in chapter number 4. And I want you to see number 3, that your peace is contingent upon your prayer to God. The Bible tells us this in verse 6. Follow along as I read Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful, a word that means be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And look at verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep is a word that means to guard or protect. And so as we look at our hearts, as we look at our minds, as we look at us experiencing the peace of God, we know today that God is at perfect peace. God doesn't worry about anything. And the peace that is God's can be ours if we will spend time in prayer. If we will spend time communicating with the God of heaven. Do you know God wants to hear from us? The Bible says God's ear are open to our cry. God wants to hear from us, His children. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In Psalm 55 in verse 22, the scripture says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. When I pray, I am giving my burdens to the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus, and he hears and answers. J. Oswald Sanders was a preacher, and he wrote one day in 1947, while he was traveling on horseback in central China with a friend of his, he came to a spot that was notorious as a robber hideout. The missionary accompanying us, he said, was keeping a sharp lookout. Suddenly, they came upon a body lying beside the path. The victim was obviously not dead long. And a few days later, he received a letter from his wife asking whether he had been in any danger on a date at a certain time she named. On that particular night, she had been suddenly awakened with a strong impression that he was in danger. She rose and prayed until the burden lifted and peace returned. He wrote this, on consulting my diary, I discovered that this midnight prayer synchronized with the time we were passing through that robber-infested area. God heard and answered the prayer for the safety of his servants. And do you know the same God that answered prayer in 1947 is the same God that answers prayer in 2020? And I'll tell you this, what we need as God's people is to seek God. If we seek him, we'll be found of him. And he wants to take that burden from you. He wants to take that burden of worry, and he wants to exchange that worry for his peace. If we'll do what? If we'll determine that I'm not going to be anxious for anything, but instead I am going to let my requests be made known unto God, and I am going to give him my burden. Our peace, perfect peace, peace in the midst of trouble, is contingent on your picture of God. It's contingent on your promises from God. It's contingent on your prayer to God. But I want you to see number four. This is an interesting one, found in Philippians chapter 4 as well. It's also contingent on your practice through God. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse number 9. Philippians 4 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Look at verse 13. The apostle writes this, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you know what? When I do right, I experience the peace of a clear conscience. You see, the God of peace will be with you. But the contingency is what? The things which you have heard and seen in me, do. You know, sometimes it's important for us to remember that doing right helps us experience the peace of God. You see, one of the biggest peace robbers for people is a guilty conscience. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 and verse 21, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. In Psalm 32, the psalmist wrote this, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And look at the psalmist as he was in sin. He describes it. He says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. What he said is, when I was in sin, I was miserable. I did not have peace. Jesus said this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world in which we live in has its own form of peace. It's a word we might call escape. The world in which we live in will seek escapes to try to medicate the pain in their heart. The Bible tells us that true peace comes from God. And it comes from a right relationship with God. Let me say this to those of you that are members of Victory Baptist Church, and really even our friends as well. If you know Christ as Savior, it's important for us in times that are down times like this to be on guard, because the devil will do what he can to get us distracted. He'll do what he can to get us doing things and into things that maybe, because we're down, maybe don't help us spiritually. And let me encourage you to seek to have a conscience, as the Apostle Paul said, void of offense toward God and toward men. We need to be careful to do what's right in this situation, in this time in which we live. We need to be careful to make sure we spend time in the Word of God, to make sure we seek to encourage one another, to make sure even at home in our viewing, watching, and in our listening, and the things that we're doing, that we're honoring the Lord. Those things which you have learned and seen and heard in me do, the Apostle Paul said, he said, do them, and the God of peace will be with you, and we'll experience the peace of God. And I think it's interesting that that's found here in Philippians 4, connected with peace. What is your picture of God this morning? Your peace is contingent upon it. You see, boy, sometimes I struggle with God. Get into the Word of God. God is a loving God. God's a caring God. What about promises in the Word of God that you are claiming? I tell you, now more than ever, we need to get into the Word of God. Now more than ever, we have more time to get in the Word of God. And God's Word is full of promises that help us today and help us through situations just like this. What about your prayer life? God's ear is always open to our cry. God always wants to hear from us. I'll tell you this, the Bible says this, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And when we find ourselves fainting, it's important that we spend more time in prayer. I think it's important that families gather together, that dads will lead the families into times of prayer, where the kids will go around and pray and seek the Lord together. Hey, your peace is contingent upon it. And then number four, what about your practice? Be on guard. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He'll seek to do what he can to get us embracing practices that will hurt our conscience. May God help us to walk with him in these times. Lastly, let me say this. Maybe you're joining us today and you don't know for sure your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. God loves you. God sent Jesus to die on Calvary's cross, as I said earlier. Jesus paid the sin penalty for the whole world. And if you'll come to him and say, God, I've sinned against you. Lord, I want you to forgive me. And Lord, I want to place my faith, my trust, my dependence in you and you alone. The Bible says, who that cometh to me, I will in no way cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if that's your need today, I hope you'll make that settled. I hope you'll settle that today. Someday, you can be with Jesus in heaven for all eternity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your peace. May God help us to experience his peace as we see it in the Word of God. Lord, we love you today. Lord, we thank you for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Lord, we pray that you would help us to appropriate your peace, to recognize, Lord, it's simple. You made it simple that way for us. Lord, I pray you'd meet the needs of everyone watching. Lord, you're a God that can do that, and I ask that you would. Lord, I pray that all of us would bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.